Robert Half research indicates 9 out of 10 hiring managers are having difficulty hiring. If you have open roles, chances are you're feeling this too. That's why you need Robert Half. Our specialized recruiting professionals engage with our proprietary AI to connect businesses of all sizes with highly skilled talent in finance and accounting, technology, marketing and creative, legal, and administrative and customer support. At Robert Half, we know talent. Visit roberthalf.com today.
But now the ball is in my court because all I have to do is ball out.
I think the biggest thing for us is, you know, can we maintain that hunger?
If anybody know Ty, we know how you talk with his hands. Like, yo, say five. I'm gonna be better than you, yo. I was like, damn, are you still in high school?
It mean everything, man. You know, when somebody could, you know, speak highly of you, you know, when others are, you know, doubting you. You know what I mean? And to really be this voice of encouragement and support.
Definitely, definitely. At some point, we'll bring a Super Bowl here.
Welcome to the very first episode of All Things Covered with Patrick Peterson and Bryant McFadden, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. The name says it all. If you like what you hear, download and subscribe and make sure you leave a 5-star rating on Apple Podcasts. We're thrilled to launch with a special guest and Super Bowl champion, Tyrann Mathieu. We got an opportunity to hear more about the unknown nicknames that Tyrann has. Some of the secret insightful things about Pat Mahomes. Money Pat Mahomes, as I like to call him. We also got a chance to talk to Pat P about the Cardinals improving to be 2-0 in their upcoming matchup against the Detroit Lions. This is a very, very informative, entertaining, conversational vibe, and you don't want to miss it.
Mic check, 1-2-1-2.
Yo, Pat, we finally here. It's week one for us. All things covered. We finally here. It's a great opportunity to bless the ears and the eyes of our listeners and viewers. But tell the people a little bit about what they can expect from All Things Covered.
Man, All Things Covered is literally going to be covering everything. We're going to have great guests. We're going to have football players. We're going to have actors. We're going to have actresses. We're going to have very, very diving, intriguing interviews, questions, and many more to come, whatever you guys may have on your mind as well. So we're looking forward to dive into many, many conversations. Should be an awesome, awesome podcast, and we're looking forward to a great show.
It's going to be a fun ride all season long. You guys will be with us, and hopefully you guys continue to smash that subscribe button and make sure you give us a 5-star rating. But with that being said, when you talk about Patrick Peterson, why football fans know who Patrick Peterson is?
Why football fans know Pat P?
Yeah.
I probably would say hitting the Heisman polls against West Virginia.
No question. Didn't you got cursed out? Didn't Les Miles curse you out?
He didn't quite curse me out, but he did give me an earful of saying, "You know better than that, Patrick."
Hey, that's
see
a great,
what the ref is doing right now. He's marking the ball back 15 yards.
That was his voice.
Hey, that's a great Les Miles impersonation, yo. That's deep. I like that. That's what's up. That's what's up. So when it comes to me, I guess football fans can know, they know me from my Steeler days. I was a Florida State guy also, played big time football at Florida State in Tallahassee. But I guess, Pittsburgh Steelers, my rookie year, a play that everybody, you know, talks about. If you're definitely, a Steeler fan or a Colts fan, my pass breakup against Peyton Manning in the second round, the playoffs in 2005 that led to a potential Super Bowl win for the Pittsburgh Steelers that bought us our fifth championship. So I think that would be something that most people would remember me, from when you talk about playing for the Pittsburgh Steelers. Pat, there's a lot I know about you because you're my family, right. My cousin, but what football fans might not know about Pat P?
Well, Matt, you know, I like to do a bunch of different things. I like to golf. Everybody knows that I golf. I love being outside. Love fishing. But something that I don't really put, you know, on broadcast or on my social media, I love to travel. I love to travel the world. You know, I've been all around the world from Rome, all over Italy, Bali, Dubai, you know, Monte Carlo. And golf have taken me to those places as well. So you know, I love to travel. You know, I've been so many, many great places in this world. And that's what I want my kids to be able to do, you know, explore the world, to see what God created for us to explore, you know, so I love to travel.
Oh, that's
what
dope.
About you, Matt? You know, I know you now being retired, you know, you got a lot of stuff on your hands. You know, I know you picked up some new hobbies here and there. What do you like to do?
Man, listen, outside of watching football, something that a lot of people might not know about me, I like to eat.
Mm.
I love eating. I love sweets. I love desserts. I love just fancy restaurants. I love having outstanding meals. And I think in my afterlife, uh-huh. if I can have another career, I would love to team up with, what's his name? Guy Fieri?
Guy Fieri? Oh, Guy Fieri.
Guy Fieri, the guy who has, I think he has the best job in the world. I mean, he gets an opportunity to travel to any place in the country.
Yeah.
And test.
And enjoy.
And do a taste test on
right.
outstanding food
right.
that looks
anywhere.
So good.
Anywhere.
I mean, what, Diners Dive and Dives or something like that. Diners Drive and Dives. That's the name
yeah,
of the show. My bad guy. Hopefully we can get you in a podcast. That would be.
Oh yeah. We definitely got to get him on.
But I think Guy has the best job in America because he gets the opportunity to fill his belly. So that's something that a lot of people don't know about me. I love to eat, and that would be an ideal job for me. Traveling around to different restaurants and tasting their food and giving 5-star ratings.
About and Max, since you brought up food, one thing some people may not know about me too, I am a pit boss.
You know, I've been seeing some of your posts.
Hey man, listen, Matt. I just made this this pulled pork, this 7-pound pork shoulder.
Yeah,
man, had that thing smoked for about 11 hours, let it sit for about an hour, unwrapped it, took the
You wrapped it in foil? What you wrapped it in?
Yeah, when I took it out the smoker,
okay.
I let it sit. Then I wrapped it up in foil to let the juices and all that, you know, settle in. Unfold that baby, man. Turned it on the side, took the bone. It was so tender, Mac. All I had to do is just pull on the bone, and it came off.
Easy peasy. So when you cooked that, when you cooked it, what you cooked it in?
I cooked it in my pit boss.
Oh, you got
that's why I'm a pit boss.
So, cause I never cooked on a pit boss. See, I got a tray.
Yeah, it's a smoker. So, yeah, man, Mac. What I'm gonna do is I'm gonna get you a pit boss.
You give me a pit
boss.
Won't
go back. Yo, you ain't got to put no chips in it. All you got to do is it's gonna come with a big old bag of pellets, and it automatically feeds itself when it needs, you know, the wood, and the flavor of the pellets I think is better.
No question. Yeah. Especially when you smoke it.
And with the one I have, I can't remember. I think I have the Pro Series.
Yeah.
So I have like 7 rows of like just space. Easy to clean. Like it's dope. I'm going to get you one.
Man.
I'm going to send you one. Just text me your address.
No question.
One on the way, Cat.
And Guy, when you check in and look at this episode or listen to this episode, we love food. So that's more than enough reasons for you to come join us on our podcast. So we might come join you on your show.
Right. So back, you know, you talked about eating, man. You know, the rumor is like when you retire as a DB,
you get fat.
Man, you haven't gained an ounce.
Oh, no. Pat, I don't eat as bad as I used to, but I still get it in. You remember
the other day I told you, you got to work out in the day, man?
No question. I got to back eight. The object for me, my goal was when I retire, I don't want to look like I never played.
Right. I'm with you. Amen.
Yeah. Don't worry. Really, when you got many more years, but when you get to that retired life, you see what I'm talking about. You just sit and chill, and you have every reason to snack on it, because I love snacks.
I'm going
to
be on that golf course, man. Every day.
No question. You're going to stay on that golf course.
Yes,
you're going to stay on that golf course.
You already know.
Now we're going to transition to Cardinals check-in. If you guys been living under a rock, Pat P plays for the Arizona Cardinals, and they're currently undefeated. The last time the Cardinals were 2-0, I think it was 2015. It's been a long time since the Cardinals are 2-0. Week 2 recap, you guys played against the Washington Football Club. Big time win at home opener, 30-15 against the Washington Football Club. Let me read you a quote from DeAndre Hopkins after the game. He said, "There was never a doubt in our mind that we would start like this. The team in the locker room, we have a lot of veterans, a lot of good young players. To be 2-0 is what we expected." Elaborate a little more about that statement from D-Hop.
I mean, you know, that he told her how it is, you know, just the confidence that we have right now, the leadership, the group of men that we have in this locker room that mesh together. It's like no other. It reminds me of that team that we had in 2015, you know, with 2013, with B.A. having been his first year in 2014, going to the playoff, losing our quarterback midseason when we was like 8-1 at that time, then coming back, having Carson the full season, and just how confident we were in the system, how confident we were in each other, and how we fed off each other, you know, and that's the beauty of winning football. You know, you've been on two championship teams. You know how important it is for everybody to be on the same page, everybody to buy into the system. So, I think that's what we're doing, you know, having our full coaching staff back, having the core of the team back, that paid dividends for us to start off the way we started off as well, because the last five games of last season, you know, guys, you know, we really learned how to win ball games. You know, early on in the season, we're just playing football. Yep. You know, we're just trying to figure out our way. And once those five games, you know, once we started winning those five games, winning more situational football, we started to gain more confidence. And once that confidence level got to a certain level, it was like, you know, now it's on us to execute the game plan.
You know, talking about confidence, I think one of the more confident players in your ball club is the quarterback, mm-hmm. Kyler Murray. He has improved, you know, a lot. From year one to year two, and it wasn't like he was a dud last year. But what he's doing right now, man, it has to be fun to watch, man. You know, how do you feel about your quarterback and what he can do in this offense throughout the entire season?
I'm telling you though, that every time one is on the field, I can't watch it on the jumbo screen. I got to watch it standing up. I got to be front row. I mean, because you don't know what to expect. You know, you're going to expect something great, but you don't know how great it's going to be. You know, like, I believe, to me, the best run that didn't count for a touchdown was the first one, when he literally just hezzled my man in midfield and, you know, damn near walked into the end zone. You know, so his confidence level has always been like that since he gotten here, since we picked him up. You know, so to see him to continue to grow into the player that he's becoming right now is like we talked about earlier. You know, he's one of those guys that have that it factor, and it's a pleasure to call him our quarterback and watch him grow as well. Because I truly, truly believe, you know, if he continues to keep that mentality and that mindset that he have, he definitely at some point will bring a Super Bowl here, you know, if he's still playing with the Cardinals. Like, that's how confident I am in him, and that's how confident he is in himself as well.
I mean, in 2 weeks of play, you know, a discussion that football fans love to have along with experts and analysts, the MVP, and they're throwing his name in that conversation. Mm-hmm. Do you think that's he has a legit shot at the MVP?
I believe so. I mean, obviously we know it's still early, you know, but he's putting up some numbers, you know, three total touchdowns, Sunday, I believe had three total touchdowns last Sunday, you know, completion rating is looking real, real nice. You know, so he's just playing very, very, good complimentary football, getting everybody involved into the offense. And, he just looked very comfortable. So, rightfully so. I think he's definitely in the conversation where he needs to be.
Well, this upcoming week, you got the Detroit Lions, a team that's, you know, searching for their first win. You guys are undefeated, you know, Detroit, Matthew Stafford, an experienced quarterback. We know he's a gunslinger. He can throw that, he can throw that thing around. Potentially he may have their best wide receiver back in Kenny Galladay, who's been absent because of a hamstring injury. If he is in the lineup, one would think that would be the guy you will follow because you are a traveling cornerback. Talk about that matchup, because I know back in the day, anytime you played against the Lions, you were always following Megatron.
Yeah.
You know, Calvin Johnson. But, you know, this is something you're familiar with. But talk about the matchup between you and Kenny Galladay if he is healthy.
I'm assuming it should be a great matchup, like, you know, I prepare for each and every Sunday. You know, I had an opportunity to go up against Kenny, in 2016, maybe 17.
Yeah.
When he came out here to the desert, you know, real big, strong, physical kid, you know, have all the physical attributes to be, recognized as a great one, you know, very, very strong, you know, run very, very powerful. And I never had an opportunity to, you know, go against, you know, T.O., but you hear about the strength, strength that he had as a receiver. And,
and in 17, he was a rookie also. He was a rookie in 2017.
Right. And, and him and Michael Thomas are definitely some of the two strongest receivers I've ever, like, you know, physically had to go up against. So, you know, I'm looking forward to the matchup, against Kenny. And, I'm sure Matthew is going to try to get him into the game. And, you know, Marvin is having a great start to his, to the season so far. Obviously the record is not where they want it to be, but their offense is moving the ball. You know, they're getting the ball in the end zone, you know, just a couple of things that they have to figure out and a couple of kinks they have to figure out, but hopefully they can figure those out after this Sunday.
No question, because you want to be undefeated. And one thing about being a part of a good organization, you know, you're an experienced guy. When you are part of a winning organization that provides financial rewards, right? Mm-hmm. Your contract is almost up. Throughout the course of the offseason, most recently a few weeks ago, we saw the Arizona Cardinals give out some big-time deals. D-Hop, right. Buda Baker. I love Buda Baker. You know how I feel about Buda Baker, boy. Oh, he's a baller. You know what I mean? And then you look at your position, specifically the cornerbacks. We saw some big-time deals. Jalen Ramsey, 5 years, 105.
Yeah.
Trey White, four for 70. Darius Slade, 3 for 50. Byron, 5 for 80. James Bradberry, 3 for 43. When you see these numbers and you see these deals, how does that make Pat P feel?
Man, you know, it's a blessing first and foremost to, you know, to have those guys, you know, trying to implement or go behind my contract, you know, cause that's what those guys basically, you know, was doing at the time. You know, obviously the cap number and all that stuff changes. And you know, those guys hit it at the right time. You know, it's all about timing, you know, it's all about timing. And I think it's the perfect time. For me, obviously having Jalen, Tre'Davious and all those guys do what they, got what they got. But now the ball is in my court because all I have to do is ball out. All I have to do is, do what I need to do to where I could be in a position to, you know, damn near write my own check. You know what I mean? So, you know, I'm very, very happy that those guys finally, changed the market. It's a blessing to see Jalen be the first guy, cause that's one of the guys I worked out with, you know, throughout his career as well. To see him be the first corner to hit that triple digit, man, I was like, yo, I said, it's about time. I texted him. I said, it's about time, yo. And he deserved it. You know, the younger generation of corners is definitely in great hands, you know, with him, Tre'Davious, you got some, Gilmore. Mm-hmm. I mean, the list goes on, you know, Byron Murphy, who I think is an outstanding, player who I get to see every single day. And you know, obviously we've got some of the old guys are like myself and, you know, Sherman, Casey, you know, that list goes on as well. That continue, to do our thing as well.
Yeah. No question. You know, I'm rooting for you, but, it's great to see those guys reset the market.
Right.
You know what I mean? It's good, not just for the position, but I think for football, because if you're going to pay wide receivers $20+ million to catch a pass, it's only right that you pay the guys that are supposed to cover the wide receivers $20+ million as well. It only makes sense.
No doubt about it.
You know what I mean? It only makes sense. So I think it's good. And you just keep doing what you're doing, continue to be the leader that you've been out there in the desert, and everything else going to work itself out.
No doubt about
it. In 2 weeks of play, we've seen a rash of injuries, right? A lot of big name players are getting injured. You know, role players are getting injured. Why do you think that's happening, especially at the rate that we're seeing it happen in only 2 weeks of play?
Man, you know, it's always tough to pinpoint, you know, why injuries happen. You know, that's kind of something. It's like Mother Nature is unpredictable. You know, you know what I mean? So it's kind of tough to say why injuries happen or how it happened or how can we prevent it. You know, the best thing that you can do is just, you know, put your body in the best physical shape possible, mm-hmm. to where that it can perform at the best when it's called upon, and, you know, let the rest take care of itself. You know, that's something that's kind of like out of your hands. You know, yeah. We play a very, very violent sport. We play a sport that, that requires a lot of, high powering cuts, focus, obviously, you know, it's a lot that goes into it. And, you know, that's just one of the things that comes with the game, you know, with any sport, you know, so you just have to, when you play sports, you just have to be, that's just have to be one of those pills you have to be willing to swallow.
You know, one thing about this show, we don't just talk about, you know, what we do, which is football. We talk about everything. And if you guys don't know, we're basketball fans as well.
Oh yeah.
You know what I mean? And it was only right for the first episode I rocked my Kobe, that being the Mamba.
Man, I'm pissed. I didn't wear my Mamba jersey, but I did drive Mamba my car today.
What the Mamba is? What kind of car that is? What's that?
What that boy Drake say? I'm outside in my AMG.
Oh, okay.
Right outside.
Okay. Okay. That boy got the AMG. Hey, I got one in the garage too, my guy.
Yes, sir.
You already know what time it is. Hey, my guy, man, we always do things alike. We like cars. We like the same basketball team. We love the same player, which is Kobe. And real quick, R.I.P. man, you know, we're currently in the playoffs, Western Conference Finals. The Lakers are up 2-0. I know everybody saw what happened most recently in game two with AD coming through in the clutch, and I saw you tweeted out that, but I want to read something to you that Charles Barkley said halftime of the TNT special. Charles Barkley said that Anthony Davis, he don't have that killer instinct.
Uh-huh.
Now, I don't know which Anthony Davis he was watching, especially in the playoffs, but what's your thought process about what Sir Charles said about AD?
I'm going to tell you, man, Uncle Charles always getting somebody riled up. He ain't do nothing but bark up that tree. And Anthony Davis, you know, he did what he always do. I think Anthony always had that killer instinct. I think he always had that dog in him, and it's starting to show now because we get to see it more. Mm-hmm. You know, Lakers on TV now. Then he in the playoff, he in the primetime moments. You know, he's been doing that since college. You know, we came out around the same year. So I had an opportunity to, you know, watch him. Him and John Wall, Bledsoe, them boys come out to the Peace Center.
Yeah.
And, he's been doing that. So to see him continue to relish those moments, it's awesome. But AD, he always had that killer instinct, man. He just needed more eyes on him to see him do him.
Yeah. And you said earlier in the show, you know, you're a big golfer. You said you're one of the top golfers in the National Football League of current guys that are still playing. You believe your game is like that.
Yeah, I believe so.
And you're ready to challenge anybody who feels differently.
They got to be playing though, man. I can't be playing these retired golfers
because they got a lot. They got a lot of time to, you know,
man,
perfect
like
the craft
every day. You know, golfing is all. It's a timing sport, but it's also a feel. It's a feeling game. You know, so you to have your short game to where you want it to be, you have to practice it all the time. It's almost like impress. You know, you have to, if you want to be, you know, find a way to stay square at all times at the line of scrimmage, you have to practice that all the time to where it's like, you know, second nature to you.
Yeah. So, hey, you don't have to tell me because I'm not getting out there to try. I already told you I had a bad experience when I was out there trying to swing tee off and didn't go as well as planned. But, you know, you're a big time golfer. And Tiger, you know, he just missed the cut in the U.S. Open. I know you love Tiger's game. Do you believe he will have opportunity in the Masters in November to do what he did last year, which is win it all?
I think so. I think Wingfoot itself is a tough course, man. It's long, tree line, narrow, you know, these like hourglass shaped greens, you know, very weird, terrain on the green. So Wingfoot is tough, man. And then that rough, You know, so it didn't only beat him up, it beat everybody up, you know. Mm-hmm. You know, so, but I think, you know, Augusta, I think it fits Tiger Eye. You know, he evidently, you know, it means something to him because he won there five times, you know.
Yeah.
I believe, if I'm not mistaken, him and Jack are the only players with five jackets, or he passed Jack last year when he got his fifth jacket. I can't remember how that went, but, with him missing that cut, you know, honestly, I wasn't surprised because he came into that tournament, you know, kind of hitting the ball all over the place. And this was a golf course. You can't hit it all over the place. Mm-hmm. You have to be in the short grass in position A to be able to score. And, he wasn't able to do that. And, you know, obviously he was cut, but I think he's definitely in prime position to compete for the Masters, here in November for sure.
I know question, but, you know.
Shout out to my boy Bryson, my Bahamas, Albany next door neighbor, Bryson DeChambeau, who won it. The only man under par. I think my man won it. What Bryson was six under?
Uh-huh.
I believe, I think also with that being said, I believe that's the lowest, round, for the U.S. Open at Wingfoot.
Yeah.
So that was big because Wingfoot, that's a tough course, and they wanted the course to beat those guys up as much as possible.
You know what? Since you're in Bryson, Albany neighbors,
yeah,
I think it's only right we get Bryson on the show at some point in time.
Oh, yeah, that's easy, man. That's easy. I congratulated him yesterday, so that's easy.
Oh, no question, no question. Right now, you know, you're tuning in, checking out first episode of All Things Covered. Brian McFadden, Pat Peterson, All-Pro Corner, man. We're getting close to the halftime part of the show, and something that we will incorporate throughout our show is something called Memory Lane. Now, upon letting people know we were going to release this show, a lot of LSU fans were tapping in about, you know, wanting to get some nice memories from you. And I'm going to throw something out there to you. Let me know how precise you are when it comes to remembering this play or these sequences of play. So this upcoming weekend, the SEC kicks off, right? So LSU, they're playing against Mississippi State Saturday, September 26th, right? So literally 10 years ago, the same exact date, the 25th, 2010, September 25th, LSU played West Virginia, right? LSU played West Virginia. Pat Peterson, number 7, is a part of that LSU roster. First quarter. Do you remember what happened in the first quarter?
Yes, I do. They was driving, down the field. We came up, I think Ty actually made this stop on, Bailey on a drag route. If I'm not mistaken, they was going back to their sideline. Ty broke up the play. Now it's fourth down, and we had just put this new field goal block call in. It was called Tiger Jump.
Mm-hmm.
And I was the guy that they chose to be the jumper, and I got a good jump on the snap, and I just jumped high as I can. I barely got it, but I got it, and I got credited for the block field goal.
Okay, so that was in the first quarter. In the second quarter, something huge happened for LSU. Mm-hmm. Do you remember that play?
Oh, yeah. That's what we talked about earlier, that pose.
Yeah.
That pose was big because the funny story about that pose, we was leading up into that game. So the first game, like I talked about earlier, how I broke the SEC record in the punt return yardage against North Carolina.
Mm-hmm.
So Kelvin Shepherd, you know, Big Shep. That's what we called him. He, you know, always crazy. He wanted everybody. He wasn't an instigator, but he always egged people on to do something. So he's like, hey, yo, yeah, I'm telling you, man, you get another punt return, man, you gotta hit the pose. I said, man, I don't know, man. I said, man, you know how Les is, man. He's like, man, we about to beat the mess out of West Virginia, man. When you get a punt return, hit the pose. I was like, man, I don't think I'm gonna do it. And sure enough, I got the punt return, and it just happened. Literally, it just happened. It was the idea that was, the thought was put into my head. I never really thought about celebrating.
Mm-hmm.
And when I just broke, you know, through the middle of the punt return, I got in the end zone. I was in front of the student section, in front of the band, and I just hit the pose.
And five
flags came after that.
that was a big time. That was the big talk in college football outside of how bad y'all beat West Virginia. Now, for college fans, they know there's only been one defensive player to ever win the Heisman, Charles Woodson, you know, a guy that we both grew up watching. But at that time, did you actually believe you had a chance to win the Heisman?
You know, early on in the year, I really did. I thought I had a good opportunity of winning it. But when it got towards the tail end of the season, teams stopped kicking it to me. So I wasn't getting opportunities to make plays. I was still making plays on defense when teams did throw my way. I think in 2000, in that year, I think I only gave up, I think it was something crazy, like 24 catches, I think, if that.
Yeah.
In that season. So I was barely getting targeted, and the only way I was getting action was on kick return and punt return. A crazy story, a fun fact is, in 2010, with me not playing an offensive snap, I led the team in all-purpose yards.
On returning kicks.
Yep. And interception too, because I had I had one big one for 95, then I had another one for like 70 something.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's a big like, stat.
I had 1,800 yards.
Wow.
Yeah.
So that should clearly be a record that still stands today, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And at LSU, yes.
Yeah. Yep. No doubt. No doubt. No doubt. So we're getting close to 2 minutes.
Man, they had to make a trophy for me, Matt.
They had
it was they had to make a trophy for me.
What was the name
was called? The Impact Player. The Impact Player Trophy.
Was that in 2010 they made that trophy?
Yeah, I was the first player to have that trophy.
Impact.
Hey, man. Impact Player. I'm going to bring that on the show next week.
Oh, make sure you bring that. You might need to bring that throw up too.
Yeah, I could bring the throw. Oh, hey, you know, it's only three DBs that got that throw up and the binary.
Yeah, no question. Hey. Who the other two? It's you and who else?
Me and Minka.
And it's one more.
Charles Woodson.
Charles Woodson. There you go. There you go. Big time player. Hey, man, we all know he was out there putting in big time work in Baton Rouge. And Baton Rouge. Hey, man, listeners and viewers, man, we're getting close to the halftime mark and all things covered. 2 minute warning. And this is a situational type vibe in the show where we call it 21 questions. 21 questions. Number 21. That's Pat Jersey. And these are random questions from big time fans that are fans of the show. And with this being our first episode, we decided to go to Facebook to get this question from a fan. But moving forward, if you want to ask us a question, myself, Pat, or both of us, please do leave a question attached to a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts. We'll be looking out for them and answering them to the best of our ability. So this first question comes from Chase Savage. He directed to Pat Peterson. From a list of any wide receiver that's ever played the game, past or present, who would you most like the opportunity to match up against and why?
I want to go against, it's three of them. I couldn't pick one.
Okay.
But Jerry for sure. I would have loved to have an opportunity to go up against Jerry the GOAT. Terrell Owens. Never had an opportunity to go against T.O. And I had an opportunity to guard Randy Moss when he was with San Francisco, but that was like, you know, he really wasn't in the mix like talking about. I think the year after that, I think that's when he went. No, I think that's probably after he just came from the Patriots, I believe.
He left the Patriots, I think Randy went to Tennessee, and then from Tennessee, I think he went to San Fran. That was towards the end.
Okay. Yeah, I know he did. Yeah. So I know that was his last team that he played for, if I'm not mistaken. But but the young Randy Moss, that Minnesota Randy.
Ooh.
That Randy that had 3 for 160 something crazy astronomical numbers that he had that night.
Hey, yo, that Minnesota Randy boy was hell out there.
I know. I definitely would have had a great would want to have the opportunity to go up against those three for sure.
So how would you rank those wide receivers?
Rank them?
Yeah.
I mean, they the top three in the league, you know, and it's hard to, I put Jerry one because Jerry first in every category.
Mm-hmm.
But after that, it's tough to put like somebody at two because the body of work is so different, but they have the same productivity. You know what I mean? So, cause like, Randy Moss, he was like down the field guy, but they got the same numbers with T.O. He was more of a, he could take the top off the defense, but he was more of a, you know, across the middle, breaking tackles type of receiver, but they both still got the job done. So it's almost like what do you like? You know, what do you prefer? You know, so it's tough to kind of rank them in the order, but those three for sure are the top receivers to ever play the game. And Larry is right there with those guys.
Oh, no question. I agree with you, man. Shout out to Chase Savage. Great question. Like I said, every week, we will answer a question. But you got to make sure you leave a 5-star review, on Apple Podcasts, and we'll definitely pick the best question and we'll answer them. Right now, we're going to take a quick break. But on the other side, we'll be joined by a former teammate of Pat's, a guy with one of the best nicknames in sports, Tyron Matthew,
Badger,
also known as the Honey Badger. He'll be right here with us on All Things Covered. We'll be right back.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We're back from our break, and like I promised you guys early in the show, we have a special guest joining us here on All Things Covered. I mean, 2020 hasn't been ideal for a lot of people, right? We've been going through a lot. But I can tell you, this individual, his 2020 is going pretty well. He won a championship back in February. He got a nice big-time handsome ransom. His pockets is full. He's currently balling, playing big time football. His team is undefeated, one of the best teams in the National Football League, clearly in the AFC. And he's also making history in another way. He is the first official guest here on our podcast, All Things Covered. I would like to introduce to you guys, you love him. He's an outstanding player, outstanding individual, Tyron Matthew, joining us here on All Things Covered. Man, Tyron, it's a pleasure. Thank you for joining us.
My guys, it's an honor, man. I appreciate y'all having me.
I mean, you've done a lot in your professional career, and you're still continuing to write and add to your career. But let's go back to the relationship between you and Pat. You know, when was the first time you guys met?
Yo, I think that if I remember, the first time we met was on a recruiting trip to LSU. And, you know, obviously I'm a big football fan, you know, so I've always admired Pat, you know, from afar. And, you know, him coming to LSU is like, that's a big deal, you know, because, you know, at the time, LSU wasn't getting top five, you know, national recruits. So for him to come there, you know, he definitely put the school on the map, you know, especially from a defensive back perspective. And so, yeah, I think that was like the first time, you know, I officially met him.
Hey, he might, I'm sure he do remember this, but the first time we did meet, we was out, like you said, on our recruiting trip. And I tell people this story all the time because it still cracked me up to this day. We was out, we was just chilling, and he was like, yo, if anybody know Ty, we know how you talk with his hands. He's like, yo, say five, like I'm gonna be better than you, yo. I was like, Damn, are you still in high school?
Oh, Pat, he told you that while he was on his recruiting trip, while you were already established? You was already established at LSU,
yeah,
right?
I say, man, you still in high school. But I say, you know what? I like that. I like that. And I want you to be better than me. And when he came there to LSU, man, it was like a match made in heaven. It was like a very, very unique friendship that jumped off from the gate. You know, his playmaking ability speaks for itself, but, you know, the human that he is, the personality that he has, you know, the caring heart that he has, it definitely, separates him from, a lot of men. So, you know, he's a special guy. So I'm definitely happy that we had an opportunity to meet at that time and our relationship continued to grow. Yeah.
So Pat, when was the first time when Tyron signed to be a Tiger? When was the first time you saw him on the grass and you was like, oh yeah, youngin got it.
I'm telling you, listen, Mac, it was the first 7-0, yo. We going out there, it's all player organized. Cause you know, like in the summer, we can't be with the coaches. It's just all the players. So like the older guys, we're all, you know, older guys in the secondary linebacker. We put our group together and be like, yo, we going to meet up at, you know, 3:00. Everybody, boom, we do out there. Everybody done when they work out, study hall. And we gonna meet up and we trying to get better. So it was one of those 7-on-7s, and the freshmen just got there. They was done with their day, and they was just strolling in. Him, E. Reed, like all the young boys is coming over from Lod Cook. That's our Breakfast Club spot. And literally the first 7-on, he had like 4 turnovers. Like I never forget. Like he had like 2 picks. Came and stripped somebody who caught like a slant on him. Like it was just phenomenal to watch. And I was like, yeah, and like this kid got it. And it's very rare that you see it, just like it is in the league. It's very rare that you see young players come into a institution or a situation with that it factor. You know what I mean? And that's what, like I said, that's what separated them.
Well, Tyron, I know I was a fan of yours when you was playing college football. I was in the league at the time, but I thought the passion and the energy you displayed week in and week out was something you didn't see from a lot of young secondary players. So you first wore number 14, if I'm not mistaken, correct?
Yo, no, my first number was actually 12.
You had 12.
Mm-hmm. I had 12 at first.
Yeah.
I switched to 14.
Okay. Yep. Okay. So you had, I remember seeing you balling with number 14, yeah. But eventually you made that switch to number 7.
Yeah.
Now for a lot of football fans, they might not know what number 7 means for LSU, but tell us a little bit about the significance in that number.
Yeah. I mean, you know, it holds great, great weight. You know what I mean? And just like I said earlier, man, you know, I think Pat coming to LSU, you know, being such a high, you know, recruit and, you know, can literally go anywhere in the country. But yet, you know, he come to LSU and, you know, he kind of helped be, you know, one of the forefathers, you know, DBU, you know, and he's the reason a lot of guys, you know, come there to play DB, you know, especially cornerbacks, you know. So I think, you know, when he left, you know, obviously, you know, I was next in line and you know, my mind is, you know, what an opportunity, you know, to wear a number or to represent somebody, you know, that has really, you know, done a lot for me, you know, on and off the field. And, you know, I think him, just me being able to be around him, you know, I wasn't this, you know, elite specimen, you know, I wasn't this national recruit, but I think being around Pat and I think having that friendship, you know, I kind of felt like I was, you know, a part of that elite group. And, you know, I think it's important, you know, that, you know, he brought that out of me, that I saw that in myself through him. You know what I mean? So, you know, forever grateful for that. And, you know, yeah, he done so much for me, man. But, yeah, I think just wearing number 7, just, you know, trying to represent him and, you know, keep his name alive as well.
Talking about the elite group, when you talk about the secondary players that have played at LSU, prior to this episode, many people reached out to me talking about claiming DBU. Right. And me and Pat, we've had this discussion many a nights about DBU, me going to Florida State, Pat going to LSU. And of course, you went to LSU as well. You know, is it when you talk about DBU, Tyron, I want you to be unbiased. I know how Pat feel about this. Right.
Yeah.
But when you talk about DBU, does it start and stop with LSU? And if so, why?
You know, I think, you know, to be 100% honest, I think it like comes in waves, you know?
Right.
So, you know, one program may hold that title for, you know, 6-8 years, and then it's another program, you know, and then it's going to be another one that come after that. And so, but I think, you know, LSU, I think we, in our mind, you know, we're able to come to the next level and really perform, you know, at that same level we did, you know, in college. And so, obviously we got a lot of LSU guys that's currently in the league playing at a high level. So I think, yeah, that's probably why, you know, I give us the nod, you know, as far as DBU.
And that's exactly what I said, Matt. I said it comes in waves. I said when y'all had Prime, you know, T-Buck, you know, the list goes on yourself. The list goes on, like Jalen.
Kamardi, yeah.
X, Kamardi, you know, the list goes on. It just goes in waves. And just like I told you, it says since 2010 until at least now, you can say we're DBU.
Yeah, I think we probably got the best. Like, if you could put LSU secondary up against any current, you know, active group, I think we'll probably have the best, you know, the most complete secondary for sure.
Who would be in that top four then? If you talk about the best LSU mates that are currently in the NFL, I give you a five-man secondary with a fifth guy being a nickel. So two safeties, two corners, and a nickel. Easy. Give me that.
Pat P, he's going to travel with whoever number one.
Yep.
And then I got Tre'Davious White.
Yep.
He going to roll. Obviously, Jamal Adams.
Yep.
Who else?
You need a nickel? You need another safety?
As far as safety, I'll go with a young boy.
Who that?
Actually just tore his Achilles, but Grant Delpit.
Yeah, Delpit. Mm-hmm. Okay.
With us. I think he got the attitude. He could roll with us. And then obviously I play the nickel. I'll do all the running around.
Hey, listen here, man. I'm not going to lie. That's a nice five. Even with you throwing a young bull in there, Grant Delpit, because he was a big time playmaker last year in the secondary.
Right. Hey, and then we're going to have my boy, Dante on practice squad, man.
Man, listen. So you mean to tell me Dante got to make the practice squad? He can't even make the starting five.
You said top five, man.
I did. You know what? With y'all answering that question the way you did, with the depth that you have, the quality and the quantity, I must tip my hat to LSU. Right now, I would say, I don't think there's another university that can put five outstanding players in the secondary right now and be content and happy. And if you got Dante Jackson coming in as the practice squad guy, and we're missing a few other guys too now, right?
That's what I'm saying. And not only that, the young fella, man, the young fella can go in there and do what he's supposed to do. He can win the Thorpe back to back.
Yeah.
Oh, who are you talking about?
Stingley.
Stingley.
Yeah.
He's just a sophomore.
How good is Stingley, man? I've been praising Stingley all year, man.
Stingley the real deal, man. I had an opportunity to work out with Stingley last year. Was it last year? No, yeah, it was last year. Yeah, I had an opportunity to work out with him while I was suspended. So I went to Baton Rouge a little bit and worked out with the young boys, and he got it, man. Like he's another one of those guys that came in with it. He's special. You know what I mean, and you can tell, you know, as a freshman, you don't see many freshmen stepping on campus, becoming a man. Look, not out of nowhere. We kind of knew that was going to happen. But the way he handled it, the way he, you know, carried himself throughout the process and continued to show up on those big stages, it was just like he's made for those moments. You know what I mean? So you can't deny that, you know, so that's greatness right there. So, you know what I mean? You know it, Matt, Ty, you know, you know greatness when you see it, and that young kid got it, man.
No question. So let's transition to Tyron when you get drafted. And you know what's, I don't know if you remember Tyron, but I remember coming out in the draft. You worked out with Pat and we all was down in South Florida a little bit, you know, grinding in that summer heat in South Florida when you was getting ready for the draft. And, Pat used to talk to me all the time about you. And I know the process of you getting drafted clearly, you know, was a little bit nerve wracking. Right. But Pat was a guy that was definitely vocal about the Cardinals taking a chance and drafting you. Right. How did that make you feel knowing that you got a guy, man, that you grew up looking up to, became a teammate of, a great friend also, and then with him having your back, being able to be that extra voice that you needed to get to Arizona and then also proving them correctly and balling out? What did that mean to you?
I mean, yeah, it mean everything, man. You know, and when somebody could, you know, speak highly of you, you know, when others are, you know, doubting you, you know what I mean? And to really be this voice of encouragement and support, you know, and not a lot of people truly have that. You know, I think it's easy to support people when everything's going well, you know, but I think if you support somebody through adversity, that says a lot about, you know, yourself, you know? So, like I said, man, just so thankful for him, you know, in so many ways, man. You know, he's really been one of those guys that's, you know, really come into my life that has really like sparked my mind, you know, in a lot of different instances, you know, and got me thinking, you know, further along. And so, but yeah, I think getting drafted to AZ, man, that was what I needed, you know, coming into the league, you know, being around him. Because when we was at LSU, it was, you know, every day I was learning something, you know, and I think when he went to the league, it was, you know, I wasn't ready to lead those boys, you know, especially off the field, you know, and I think, so I think getting back around Pat, you know, I was able to get back under that learning umbrella, you know what I mean? And until I was able to be a leader, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm.
And
speaking
now,
on when he became a leader, it was remarkable to watch him grow. And I remember him getting his first C, I believe it was 2015, the year we went to the NFC Championship, and obviously you tore your ACL against the Eagles. But just when he got his C, just his whole demeanor changed. It was like, it wasn't like he arrived, because he already know who he is. He already know, like, you know, what he can do. But once he got that C on his chest, it was like, all right, like I'm like one of the top five players. So therefore, like, you know, what I say or how I play, how I move, it means something. Yeah. And like you said, he was able to, you know, watch that, not only for me, but from Larry, you know, the Corey Peters, you know, the Carson Palmers, the list goes on. And when he got that C, I was just so happy for him. And when he left the Cardinals and he went over to Houston and went over to did the same thing, it was like, he got it. And it was just, and I tell him all the time, it's a beautiful thing to watch him, the way he's blossoming to the world. Because I remember meeting him when he was, you know, 16, 17 years old, you know, this not snotty nosed kid, but, you know, just kid that, you know, just needed guidance. And, you know, like he said, I just wanted to, you know, just pull out a helping hand to a brother, you know, cause I really felt that, you know, we had a special connection when we first met. But, nah, man, it's just definitely a pleasure to see, the way he's going and the leadership role that he's definitely taking on, not only with the Cardinals, but, you know, with his, with the Chiefs and being an outstanding father to his, three beautiful kids. It's just great, man. It's just great to see Ty growing to this man that he is today.
Yeah. No question. And with that being said, you know, you talked about, you know, Tyron leaving the Cardinals, going to Houston, and then most recently, you know, signing with the Kansas City Chiefs. First season was with the Chiefs last year. Like I said, he got an outstanding background, Reverend Chiefs Kingdom fully. So, Tyron, let's talk about the Chiefs this year. You know, it's good that we got both of you guys on because both of y'all are undefeated. You know what I mean? So both of you boys are part of winning organizations right now currently. But let's talk about the Chiefs. This past Sunday, another come from behind win, against the Chargers. When you play the type of ball you play as an individual, and that has, you know, translate throughout the entire defense on all three levels. But then when you got money Pat Mahomes at your quarterback, do you have any doubt? Is there any doubt that, you know what, we get down by 10, 15 points in the second half, we might not win this ball game?
I think being having Pat as a quarterback kind of lessens the doubt. You know what I mean?
Jesus Christ.
Yeah, he's a special player, man. Special talent. He's a hell of a leader too. You know, one of the first guys in the building. You know, really goes about his work the right way. And then he finds a way to not get distracted. You know, so many people pulling on him, so many people praising him. You know, I think for him to be that young, you know, I remember when I was young, you know, I feel old, but I'm still young. Kind of, you know, but, yeah, I don't know if I could have handled all that, man. So, you know, praise to him, man. He's handling it all well, you know, and, but yeah, it definitely pays to have him, you know, as a quarterback.
Man, that throw he made to Tyreek on the run, yo.
Oh, man.
I mean,
that's him,
man.
I saw that 90 times.
Man.
Hey, Tyron, I was going to ask you, with you, you know, practicing against Pat Mahomes, tell us something about him that we might not know. I mean, we see the unbelievable throws, you know, on game days and just making people miss and just, you know, the cannon for an arm he has. But for us, you know, I'll never get a chance to be around Pat Mahomes like that. And the same could be said for Pat. I don't think Pat would ever play for the Chiefs, but who knows, right? But give us a little insight about Pat Mahomes, man, about what makes him so special, something that kind of blew you away from what you saw Pat do.
Yeah, I mean, you know, outside from him just, you know, obviously having an amazing arm talent, you know, he's like a humble killer. You know, like when he comes into the arena or he comes to practice, you don't think he's there to, you know, put you in your place. You know, it's kind of like he's just like there, you know, and then once that ball's in his hand, he turns into a completely different person, you know, so he's highly competitive, you know, he knows where the ball's supposed to go, you know, not every quarterback, you know, has that, you know, trait, you know, to be able to go from one read to the fourth read, you know, and be on time, you know, but yeah, I mean, I've saw him do so many special. I saw him throw a 70 yard, probably was in the F of 70 yards, jeez, you know, training camp. So on a, and sometimes he overthrow them boys and
that's crazy.
He keep running, you know, so.
Hey, so, hey, that's crazy right there. So Ty, talk to me about, you know, how difficult was it for you guys as a defense, you know, having the uncertainty about, you know, who was going to be the starting quarterback, you know, going into the Chargers game. How difficult was it going up against, well, not going up against, you know, preparing for, Justin Herbert?
Yeah, to be honest, man, I thought the young kid came in there and played the way he was supposed to play. You know, I think, mm-hmm. You know, he showed his team, you know, why they invested so much in him, you know, right. And, he got great size. You know, mm-hmm. I think that's always an advantage for a quarterback. You're able to see the defense, see the linebackers to the safeties. Right. You know, it just gives them a better view, you know. Mm-hmm. And then I think on the other hand, us defensively, man, we tackled horrible yesterday. Mm-hmm. When, even if you watch the game, he threw a couple balls downfield. But for the most part, you know, he was just taking what we gave him.
Right.
And then it was on us in coverage, you know, to come out of coverage and make those tackles.
And get the ball down, right.
Yeah, and we just couldn't, you know, do that yesterday. But I felt like we made the plays, you know, when it mattered the most.
Right.
You know, and obviously, you know, every game, you know, don't go your way.
Right.
And it really just comes down to, you know, making the plays that come to you. So, but I thought we did enough to contain them. But obviously, I think anytime you give up 300 yards passing, you know, and you don't really impact the quarterback in the way, you know, you would like, I think that's always something you can learn from, especially if you won the game.
I got you. Well, would you guys win in Super Bowl 54? You know, most teams don't have the opportunity to go or, win back to back Super Bowls. Do you guys have any egos in the locker room? Do you guys have the same mindset? Like, what's the vibe right now? Obviously, you guys are 2-0. You're flying high. Like, how's the team?
I think we're in a good space. You know, I think we got a young team, but you know, it's a lot of guys that just love football. You know, that's all they want to do is play ball. So I think that's a positive. You know, just like any other team, you know, you add new faces each and every year on offense and defense, and so I think the biggest thing for us is, you know, can we maintain that hunger? Because we have the talent, we have the personnel, we have the guys, you know, in the impact positions, whether it be D-line or safety or wide receiver, tight end, we got impact players, but are we still as hungry, you know, as we was. So I think, but that comes down to leadership and, you know, me showing up to work every day, setting the standard, and Pat trying to do his best to set the standard for the offense. And but yeah, I think as long as we can maintain that hunger, you know, we'll be all right.
Okay. Speaking of being hungry, y'all got a big meal this week. Some people saying this might be the game of the year already in week three. Monday Night Football, MVP 2019, Lamar Jackson, Baltimore Ravens. I mean, looking at what Lamar has done, I don't know if you started your prep yet, but he's completing around 77% of his passes. He's averaging almost 300 yards a game, no interceptions. What is it like preparing for a guy like Lamar Jackson? Because y'all played them last year in Kansas City. But seeing how he has evolved into an outstanding do-it-all quarterback, what is like prepping for Lamar Jackson, and what can we expect to see from your defense?
Yeah, I don't think you can really duplicate, you know, preparing for him in practice. You know, not many scout team quarterbacks could, you know, do what he do. So I think it's really a mindset. You know, how are we going to approach this week? I think the way we played against the Chargers, you know, I'm happy we won the game, but I'm glad we played that way, because now we have some extra motivation going into a big, big primetime game against a high-powered offense. I think Lamar he's a special player, you know, and I think you cut on the film, you realize that this is a quarterback that's comfortable in his offense. And so, whereas, you know, most of these quarterbacks in the league, that they're not comfortable in their own offense. And so they don't present as many challenges. So, you know, obviously he got a great running game, you know, and then you see him as well trying his best to stretch the ball downfield, get everybody involved. And, you know, like you mentioned, completing a high percentage of his passes, you know, and we all know what he could do, you know, once he get in open space. So, it's going to take all 11 of us, man, to really try our best to contain them, to affect him on each and every play.
Well, we're going to transition into the show into what we call the in the zone moment. Just like any normal prep for a ball game, you have your situational football moments, right? You know, red zone coming out, P and 10 and things like that. So this is the in the zone moment. So Tyron, in the zone is basically a moment in your career where you were most in the zone. Where the basketball rim was the size of the ocean, right? And granted, you got a lot. It's difficult because you got a lot to choose from,
right?
But, you know, people want to know, what do you believe was the most in the zone moment for you?
Oh man, let me think for a second. I probably say had to, you know, really going back to, if I could pick a college game, is definitely going back to LSU.
Yeah,
we played Arkansas. I think they was ranked number three. 1 week we was ranked number two. And yeah, I was just locked in that whole game, man. Had like a 90-yard punt return.
Yeah, that punt return was crazy.
Seven tackles, couple forced fumbles. I was just taking the ball from people. You know? So that was one of my most intense in the zone moments. I was like zoned out for 60 minutes, which is like rare to do. You know?
Would you say that was the best game in your football career, high school, college, and professional, just everything that you were able to master together?
Best game? Nah, actually, I'd probably say my best game I ever played was in high school, man. We played against West Monroe, and they're like always ranked in the top 10 nationally, you know, as high schools. And we played them in like the semifinals of the playoffs. We lost by 2 points, but I scored every point, caught like 2 picks on defense. I was just so fine, missed any tackles that day. I just did everything right from a technique standpoint, and, you know, put my team in position to win, but we couldn't at the end. But that was probably my most fundamentally sound game I've ever played back in high school.
Pat, what's the best game you ever played?
My best game I ever played, probably I go back to my college days as well. My first game at punt return at LSU in the Georgia Dome. We was playing against North Carolina. Yeah,
I mean, I was at that game.
Yeah, I went crazy, man. I had 200 and 80 something odd yards, return yards. I broke the SEC record that night. Yeah, it was that, like Ty said, I was locked in because I kind of felt Les should have been put me in that punt return. So I felt like I had something to prove.
Yeah.
And, but that night, man, I was just in the zone. I was running all over the place. I started cramping up. I could have had like 500 yards, but I cramped up like 8 minutes.
Pat, you used to cramp a lot of LSU too, man.
The humidity, man. I used to be geeked up, man. In college, man, that energy level, oh, man. I'm talking about Mac. We used to have that Boosie rolling.
That Boosie.
Oh, man. I'm on that liquor. Oh, Lord. You already know, Ty. Hey,
they don't know about that little Boosie. Boosie right. was heavy in Tallahassee also.
Right.
Yeah. Boosie was heavy in Tallahassee also. Ty, we getting ready to wrap it up, but we getting close to the red zone part of the show and superlatives, right? So this is where we ask you random questions, and you can't answer with yourself being involved. You know what I mean? So, Pat, you can get the first one to him, and then we can kind of roll it off. But these are random questions. We want your honest answer.
Okay.
And like I said, we're getting close to the red zone moment, so this is where you play some of your best football in the red zone. So we should get some great answers from you.
All right, here we go. Best player from the 2013 draft.
Best player. Wow.
you need some help with some of the names?
Hey, I did some research, man. It's going to be – you're going to have to do some digging.
The best player. Yeah, that's a nice list too.
I'll give you a hint. You actually played with one of them, who I think is the best player.
Is it Kelsey?
Nope. Well, if you think –
I mean, yeah, Kelsey is in there.
Yeah, he's in the 13 draft, but if you think he's the best player, yeah.
I'm just trying to think who like, from that draft is,
okay.
So first round is you had Xavier Rose, you had D-Hop, you had Dean Milder.
I'd probably say Hop and Kels.
You also had Le'Veon Bell in that draft.
Le'Veon Bell.
Travis Frederick, Lane Johnson.
Mm-hmm.
Darius Slay.
Yeah, I mean.
Sharif Floyd.
Probably say Hop and Kels. I think them two, because just the numbers they've been able to put up, you know, it's like like all time great territory. You know, I don't think many people could say, you know, that they're doing, you know, what them two are doing. You know what I mean?
That's a nice list.
Yeah.
Best nickname in the league right now.
Best nickname. I'd probably say Frank Clark the Shark.
Oh, I didn't even know that was his nickname. Yeah. That rhyme.
Frank Clark the Shark.
That rhyme. I didn't even know that. I like that.
Frank Clark too.
Be having some nice cleats too. His cleat game be
fire. Yeah. Frank do be coming with it.
Yeah,
big guy. He come with some heat. He definitely has some heat. Best album in 2020.
Best album in 2020. Probably say that Lil Baby, man.
Ooh, that's a good one.
Probably say that Baby. That Lil Baby is nice. Probably the best one, no doubt. Yeah.
Hey, speaking of artists, you going to that boy Lil Keed?
I heard about him. I ain't never really.
Hey, he got a nice little tone. He got a nice little tone.
I heard a couple.
I think you'll vibe to him, Five.
Yeah.
Man, Pat, you said, look, what's his name? You know I'm a little older. I don't even know.
Yeah, Lil Keed.
Lil Keed. I ain't heard him yet. I might need to go in my portfolio.
K-E-E-D.
Keed, where he from?
Atlanta.
Man, you know Atlanta got about 300 million rappers, man. Every
right. He got the same little tone, though, but the tune, but his lyrics wasn't bad, though. Like, you can vibe to him. Yeah, Lil Keed.
All right. I got one for you. Best safety in the league.
That's easy.
League. I'd probably say Adams.
Lamar had a big game.
Yeah, I think just his level of impact on the game, you know, is different from most, you know, safeties in the league right now. I think he's really able to impact a good percentage of the plays.
Yeah.
You know, whereas most safeties are not even effective on most plays, you know.
Right. Man, he got that dog, too.
Yeah.
That's something you can't coach.
No doubt about it. Let me see. Oh, I got one for you, Five.
Why you call him Five? What's that? That's a nickname?
Yeah, we got Five Slime. Yeah, you got a bunch of them.
Okay.
If you wasn't playing football – do you really think you could have been the next AI? I know you be in your bag.
Yeah. And look, to be honest, bro, I think probably like the next Derek Jeter. Because look,
baseball.
My baseball coach used to beg me to stop playing football.
I couldn't. What, you outfield, infield? Which one?
Used to play shortstop, second base. I pitch on occasions. Wasn't really like, I wasn't really like big into pitching. You know, I just rather play the field, you know, bat first. But yeah, he used to beg me to stop playing football, man.
What?
I couldn't see that. I couldn't see what he was seeing. You know, I was just locked in on football. Was like it brought out a different passion for me.
That's what's up. I never knew that you had anything like that on the diamond. And clearly, you know, I didn't know you was tough like that in basketball, because I heard Pat mention, you know, potentially being the next AI. But
I didn't play in the World Series and all that. Growing up, man. So, but yeah, like I said, baseball was just a sport that I was just naturally
good at.
Football
That's
was
awesome, man.
That was what I was in love with. You know what I mean?
No question. Last question for you. Most likely path after football. Now, I did my research now. So I see you really enjoy acting.
Yeah.
And also too, you feel pretty, you know, heavy about politics, but what is probably the most likely path for you after football?
Oh man, shit. Try to save all my money where I could take a couple years off before I get back to work.
Amen to that.
I'll probably say, you know, right now, man, you know, I think, you know, I like to serve, you know, especially other people. You know, I think, you know, so many instrumental people that came into my life that, you know, gave me that sense of hope that I needed. And I think so my next mission after football to hopefully touch, you know, somebody in the same way that, you know, obviously Pat touched me and, you know, Coach Lee, my high school coach, you know, he sparked my brain too. You know, I used to play offense before I played DB, and he was like the first one to get me to buy into the defensive mindset. You know what I mean? And so it's been a lot of people that come into my life that really touched me in the right way. I'm hoping I could do it the same way. I don't know whether that be through coaching or, you know, mentorship programs, but, you know, I see me, you know, definitely, you know, doing that in some way.
Man, that's dope, man. That's dope. Yeah, I think, you know, that's something that a lot of kids are lacking. You know what I mean? A lot of kids come from difficult upbringings, and with you being able to go fight adversity and make it out on top, you know what I mean? You got a voice that people going to listen to.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And that's something that we all need to adapt, being able to try to help others. So, hey, man, I'm right there with you. Five.
Yes,
I can call you Five. What'd you say? Five and Slime? What's the nickname? You got Five, Slime?
Yeah, just call him Five.
Five. Okay, Five. But hey, you know what, man? Listen, at some point in time when y'all boys, you know, got some free time, you know what I mean? Hopefully, ideally, y'all can meet up in the Super Bowl in Tampa, right?
I think
that'd be dope. And we can do an all things covered in Tampa if we're able to travel.
Yeah.
But at some point in time, I want to see what your hoop game looked like, Tyron, because this man say AI, man, you had to be nice out there.
Hey, man, you can go both ways where, you know, most guys don't have left and right.
Yeah.
I've seen it.
I could get
nice.
Were you playing above the rim, too?
I don't vouch for many people, man.
Huh?
I said, were you playing above the rim also?
Nah, I mean, my game is, you know, obviously I'm impacting on the defensive end. I'm going to run the court all day. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I'm like I could drive and spot up, you know what I mean? And I could, you know what I mean, pull up. But yeah, I'm a beast in transition.
Ooh. So, yeah.
That boy Pat had a nice little game, too.
Oh, yeah.
He was in the celebrity game with me one time.
Me and Pat ran mini courts together.
Right.
I'm going to tell you the two best guys I didn't see play. Le'Veon Bell got something. And Adams from Green Bay.
Devontae.
Yeah, he got some too.
Okay, I saw Le'Veon play, but I never saw Devontae play.
Yeah.
Well, you got to look at his release off the line of scrimmage. It's almost like he on the court. You know, he be crossing boys up left and right.
Yeah, that's how that boy Stevie Jackson used to be.
Boy, Stevie Jackson had some.
Yeah, man.
Yeah.
But yeah, Matt, we gonna let Ty get out of here, man. We know he got other plans going on, but man, Ty, we appreciate you being our first guest on All Things Covered, man. You enjoy the rest of your night. And man, we hope to link up later on this season and wish you the best of luck against the Ravens.
No question.
Hey, dog, appreciate y'all having me, bro.
Once again, we back, man. But first and foremost, man, a big time thank you to Tyron Matthew joining us here, the first official guest on All Things Covered. Outstanding interview. Pat, we just got through episode one of All Things Covered, somewhat like week one of the NFL season. How did you think it went?
Man, Mac, I thought it went great. You know, I thought we got some, we had some great conversation with Tyron. We found out some new nicknames, Five and Slime, that you didn't know.
Yeah.
We got some insight on Pat Mahomes that many people may not know. Talked about the team, the vibe of the team, the energy. But I thought it was awesome. But enough of what we thought. You know, we want to thank everybody for listening to our debut of All Things Covered. If you like what you heard, please make sure you subscribe and follow and leave a 5-star rating on Apple Podcasts. 5 stars. We'll be back at you next Tuesday, where you can expect all things will be covered. Peace.
Peace.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with 3 rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe? Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.